This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hey, folks. This will be Jamie Rivers here this week, doing a little bit of a Han's Solo mission. Not the Solo sequel from the Star Wars series, just me solo in the studio today. I will be joined by our good friend, Jax Taylor, which I believe he's in New York City right now. He's kind of been traveling around the world here lately, but he's going to take some time and catch up with us, and he and I will recap a little bit of the Stanley Cup playoffs, as well as our picks moving forward into the next round. So without further ado, I'm going to give you my own personal series recap, as the NHL playoffs have been exciting for sure, and I think that the speed and the pace for me has been incredible. You know, it reminds me of playoffs past, meaning, you know, late 90s, mid 90s. The hitting, the intensity, all that was ramped up for me so far in the NHL playoffs. I think the playoffs had lacked that a little bit the last couple of years. And now, you know, certainly we've had some suspensions and we've had some things happen this year, which, you know, I'm just going to try to stay away from that stuff. But realistically, the Drew Doughty hit was a good hit. I don't think the head was the main target. And, you know, there's an argument for everything one way or the other. Whatever side of the fence you fall on, you can support your argument. So not even going to get into a debate about that. I just think that it was a good hockey hit. Player, you know, altered his speeds, and at that point, the head became not the point of contact, but it did come into contact. And there's been some other hits that have happened. And also, there's been hits that have gone on that were not suspended, weren't even looked at. So, but I guess the bottom line, though, is I really, really like the intensity so far of the playoffs. And if we look at some of the series in the first round, and we'll start in the West, we look at Nashville, Colorado. And I think everybody was kind of surprised at what Colorado brought to the table here. You know, Nashville, as advertised, we thought they were going to be powerful. We thought they were going to be fast. And they've played really tough. They're a team that's really brought the body on big time. So I think that watching their series, they're a dangerous team. Now, however, I don't think Pekka Rinne was on his game 110%. You know, there's a lot of games where he was letting in goals. He didn't have quite that Vezina Trophy performance going. And so Colorado was able to sneak into the series. They managed to squeak out some games and at least put up a damn good fight. Now, just to remind you guys, Colorado did this without Semyon Varlamov, their number one goalie, and without Erik Johnsson, arguably their number one defenseman. I mean, that's pretty tough to do. And Jonathan Bernier played pretty well in the series. And then, lo and behold, he gets hurt and Greg Hammond has to come in, the Hamburglar, and he literally steals a game in Nashville. I mean, it was epic proportions. I think he had 44 saves and on 45 shots. And the one that went in was like off a guy's leg and into the net. So at that point, I think that the Predators and everybody else, quite honestly, watching the series was like, oh boy, could the Hamburglar steal a series now? Like, that had to be in the back of their minds. And then going back to Colorado, if there was ever a time for them to do it would have been then. But not that they came out flat. I just think that Nashville just upped their game just a little bit and brought a little bit more than Colorado was able to handle. And the Hamburglar couldn't come up with his miracle performance that he'd had the previous game. And the series was over. So Nashville advances there. The Winnipeg-Minnesota series, for me, was never in doubt. You know, I know that Minnesota had some injuries. Certainly Ryan Suter on the back end was a big injury. And then Zach Parise losing him, what, halfway through the series? That's a big injury. They're their two biggest guys, highest paid players or leaders. You know, for me at that point, the Winnipeg Jets, they're just too big, too powerful, too fast. And they did a great job of, you know, using all their assets. The goaltending was great. The power play was great. They're so deep up front with Stastny, Ehlers, Scheifele, Wheeler, all these guys, Laine. And then on the back end, they're as deep as anybody in the NHL. So that's going to be a really tough team to beat. And that's going to be interesting to get into the discussion next when we get joined by Jax here in a little while about the Nashville-Winnipeg series. That intrigues me very much. It's kind of like a Stanley Cup final, to be honest. We move back into the West here. We had the Vegas and the LA Kings. Now, here's the thing. I had LA winning this series, which I just thought I would play upon. You know, Jonathan Quick is an amazing goalie, and he didn't disappoint. He was incredible. He did a fantastic job. I mean, I don't even remember the numbers, but something like 1.6 goals against, a 0.956 save percentage. Like, numbers like that don't eliminate you four straight. It's incredible the way he played. Yet, you flip the table to the other side, and you got Marc-Andre Fleury, who, you know, not only matched those numbers, he bettered those numbers, and the Vegas Golden Knights just were too much. And I tell you, I've got so much respect for that team right now because they play with so much speed. They're going. Their forecheck is tenacious. Their players are never out of a play. They work hard. They come back to the middle of the ice. They're blocking shots. Their decor is not deep. It isn't deep at all. Like, when you look at the Nashvilles and the Winnipegs and even the Kings when they got Muzzin back with Doughty, like, those teams are deeper. But the Knights have something special going on there. They're playing really hard. They're playing really well. They play fast. They're so exciting to watch. And I couldn't believe that the series ended up 4-0 for the Golden Knights. I really thought, okay, LA is going to go back to their building and pull back at least into the series. And they just never did. And it's not like they weren't trying. They were. They worked hard. It's Marc-Andre Fleury and the Knights shut the door. And they just couldn't put the pucks past the goalie at that point. Jonathan Quick did everything he had to do. Drew Doughty did everything they had to do. It just wasn't meant to be. And to me, that's really the big shocker here in the first round is the Golden Knights, because I had the Kings winning that series just based upon experience and how deep they were and just that veteran presence that they've had. So that was a big shocker. Anaheim-San Jose, that was a huge shocker. I had Anaheim winning that series. And I never thought in a million years that San Jose Sharks could compete physically with the Anaheim Ducks. The Ducks are big. They're strong. They're fast. They're, you know, they're a mean team, and they've got some talent. They got Getzlaff, Perry, Kessler, you know, not to mention that they had some great goaltending as well, and it just didn't work for them. The San Jose Sharks had an answer for everything, and let's not forget, San Jose Sharks are minus Joe Thornton, which I don't care how old he is. The guy still played the World Cup of Hockey for Team Canada. He still would have had a point a game this year. He still would be a massive presence out there, especially in the puck possession game. And they don't even have him. And they went through this. They went through Anaheim like they weren't even there. And now Evander Kane, their big pickup, who everybody had question marks about coming to deadline, including me. You know, I was on the fence with this guy. I don't know if I didn't know if I'd want him on my team. I'd heard a few things in the past, and then, you know, you hear some good, you hear some bad. But this guy jumps in, and he's been a difference maker for the Sharks. I mean, he was unbelievable. He had a couple of plays, a couple of goals that were fantastic, let alone one move where he toe-dragged the defenseman all the way around, one hand back through him, and he missed the shot. But it's just the balls that he had to even try that means that he's operating at a high level. He's confident. You know, his confidence is high right there. So that was impressive. And, of course, their goalie, Jones, he stood on his head as well. I mean, he literally won that series for them. So those were the shockers for me, were the Vegas Knights beating the Kings 4-0, and then the Ducks beating the Sharks 4-0. I don't think anybody would have predicted that. So I took a beating on my bracket for that. As we move over to the East, we had the Tampa-New Jersey series, which I never felt was in doubt ever. I mean, I had Tampa winning that series. I think New Jersey made it interesting. I think Taylor Hall did a great job of leading that team. Patty Maroon, big St. Louis boy, he did a great job of playing down low, certainly in front of the net on the power play. The Devils have come a really long way in a very short period of time. And to me, you know, the future looks bright for that team. They had a little bit of a goaltender problem where they had Kincaid, who started the series, and they went to Schneider. And, you know, I've never been a fan of that, where you're flip-flopping throughout, because to me it just shows doubt within the coaching staff about what you've got on the back end there for your goalie. Kincaid played great. It's not like he didn't earn his starts, but at the end of the day, Schneider has been your guy through thick and thin for the last while, and he's been an incredible goalie. It's a tough call. And, you know, unfortunately, Schneider wasn't playing good enough at the start of it all to say, hey, I got this, no problems. And so they experimented with Kincaid. It's not like it didn't work. It just wasn't working to the extent that they needed it to work. And they shove Corey Schneider in the net. He does a great job, gets him back into the series, plays solid. But even, you know, even him, it wasn't enough. And quite honestly, against that high-powered offense that Tampa has, I don't know if anybody's going to be enough to keep them off the board. You're going to have to outscore them, which is going to be very difficult to do when they have a deep blue line in Tampa, six solid D, maybe seven. I mean, they're scratching a guy who could play in the NHL every night. And then you got Vasilevskiy, who's a Vezina candidate himself. It's going to be tough to crack that shell for sure. The Boston-Toronto series, to me, that was, wow. Like last night, game seven, it reminded me of like a 1989 playoff game where it's just run and gun, and the speed and the goal scoring and the hitting and all the intensity was fantastic. At one point, I'm telling you what, I thought Boston had it. When they got ahead 3-2, I thought, oh, well, that's it, it's over. But it wasn't. Toronto came back, tied it, got ahead by a goal. At that point, going into the third period, a Mike Babcock coach team going into the third period ahead by a goal should have been able to close that out. Now, there's multiple factors in it. One, the Boston Bruins, you can't forget those guys. They're the ones that are going to say, wait a minute here, we're not going away, or we're not going quietly into the night. And now it's coming out that big Zdeno Chara had a word to say about that. He got up between the second and third, and I don't know exactly what he said, but apparently he got up and was like talking to the guys, and certainly a guy that like that speaks. He's a leader. He's your captain. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been to another final. He knows what it takes. So whatever he said was enough to get those guys going. And then right from the onset in third period, you could just tell that it was the ties were changing. The Bruins were going. The speed that they had. Jake DeBrusk, I mean, holy shit. Talk about a coming out party for this kid. Speed and skill and ability. And it's just incredible to see how he's playing and to just not even be nervous. It looks like he's trying all sorts of stuff out there. Confidence, once again, is high with that player. And it's great because they need that. You know, they've got the Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak. Those guys, you know, are going to be dangerous every series. And they were difference makers again last night. However, you need the Jake DeBrusk. You need the Rick Nash. You need the David Backes. You need that second layer of guys. And the Bruins right now are four lines deep with solid players. And they got the young guys playing well. The back end's playing well. Tuukka Rask is the question mark for me. He's the question mark. I watch him. At one point yesterday, there were four goals on 16 shots. I mean, that's not good. So I'm worried about that, especially now when they come up against Tampa next round. We just talked about how potent their offense is. So I don't know. That's going to be – I don't know if that's going to work out well. He's going to have to find his game or find a way to pull a horseshoe out of his ass at some point. But, you know, Boston comes away with the big victory there. 4-3, the only game seven in round one, which was exciting because those are always fun. The intensity's cool. And, shit, I end up watching the game with my boys, and it's like, you know, everybody gathers around the TV. It's like old days for me. So it was kind of cool to at least get one game seven out of round one. The Washington-Columbus series, now that was a wild one because Columbus goes into Washington and wins first two games. They're up 2-0 in the series. That's a big jump. You usually try to get one game in the opponent's building. They're up 2-0 at that point. And Washington, you know, it's the ghosts of playoff past start to knock at your door again. And I'm sure Washington was thinking about, holy crap, you know, we're blowing it again. And they, too, had a goaltender controversy, we'll call it, where they started Philip Grubauer instead of Braden Holtby, who, by the way, I've mentioned it before, Braden Holtby is like the second highest save percentage of any goalie ever in the Stanley Cup playoffs. As Tim Thomas is number one and Braden Holtby is number two, and that's a history of his own, of his playoffs and history of playoffs in the modern NHL. So that's pretty impressive to say the least. And they decided to go with Grubauer. Didn't work, and so they found themselves going back to old faithful Braden Holtby, who put together, I didn't think he had a, you know, performances from for the ages out there, but he was solid. You could just tell he was there. You could tell the team relaxed around him. You could tell that they were playing a different game. And in doing so, they went into Columbus, won the two games there, went back to Washington, won that game. And then, you know, they go back into Columbus, and they got to take one. Or they go back into Washington. Sorry, I forget where Columbus finished ahead of them, I believe. But anyways, it doesn't matter. They took it four straight after that. Lose the first two with your backup goalie in. You go back to your number one guy. You win four straight. I think that argument is solved. I think that obviously Washington's going to go with Holtby the rest of the way. Next series was Pittsburgh-Philadelphia, which it played out as advertised. It was tough. It was competitive. There were lots of, we'll call them borderline hits or physicality. But the Pittsburgh Penguins are just too much, man. I mean, Flyers didn't get the goaltending. My boy Brian Elliott, I love that guy to death. You know, he had a horrible first game. He bounced back with a great game, too. And then after that, it just wasn't. I don't know if he's still injured or if he was rusty. It just wasn't working. And they went to Mrazek. It wasn't working. They went to Neuwirth. It really wasn't working. So that's a team that was just scrambling to find anything to stop the bleeding, and they just couldn't. And Pittsburgh's got Crosby and Malkin and Kessel, and then Jake Guentzel, who comes out of nowhere, kind of. I mean, he's a proven playoff player, but, you know, they got this guy lighting the lamp. Like, who the hell do you cover at that point? And you got a goalie in Matt Murray, who's won two Stanley Cups in a row. You know, there was very little light at the end of that tunnel, and I think that Pittsburgh closed it off the way they should. So now that's going to line up to an incredible next series again with Washington-Pittsburgh. And I guess before I get into that, because we're going to be joined by once again, Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules. He's going to be coming up here and in a little while to go over round two and to have our picks and to, you know, kind of have our wager and bounce around and whatnot. But to me, here's my problem with the NHL playoffs right now is if you look at it the way it breaks down for this next round, Tampa, Boston, like that's arguably an Eastern Conference final. Should be. And they're going to beat the crap out of each other, and whatever's left over is going to end up in the Eastern Conference Final, let alone the Stanley Cup Final, which is so far down the road right now. And you have Washington-Pittsburgh. Once again, you could argue that that's a conference final. And I know that the league has so much parity now that it's tough to not end up with some of these intense series. But I just think that if they went back to the 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, and they broke it down like that, I think you end up with less intense second rounds. And I don't mean, like, I know the fans gain from it, but realistically, the series all should ramp up gradually. They shouldn't, start and then spike way up. Like this next round is spiked through the roof with Tampa, Boston, Washington, Pitt. That's spiked. And then you go to the Western Conference and the Jets and Nashville. I mean, come on. That in itself you could say is a Stanley Cup final. Now, they're both in the West, so that's a Western Conference final, and arguably two of the best teams in the league, they're going to play each other in the second round. Vegas and San Jose, yeah, I don't say it's a little less attractive. I don't think it's as intense as the other three series. However, it's still, you know, a couple of good teams, but it really, in reality, should have lined up to be the Sharks and Nashville, the Jets and Vegas. I mean, that's the way it would have been based upon the old playoff format. And that kind of makes sense, realistically, because Nashville should beat the Sharks, the Jets should beat Vegas, and then Nashville would play the Jets in the Western Conference Final. And at least then you have some home ice advantage. Like Boston, they finished second to Tampa, and now they've lost home ice advantage. And that's kind of crazy to me. Anyways, I just think that, you know, these series prove to me over and over again just how much it takes to not only win in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. And when I watch these games and I'm seeing the intensity, the speed, the physicality, the goaltending, I just look at it as, if we talk about the Blues for a minute, where would the Blues have measured up in this playoffs so far this year? I look at the team, and they did a great job coming down the stretch. You know, they had a little hiccup in their last, three, four, or five games. But leading up to that, they put together a tremendous run. But what else did they have to give after that? Like, what more could they have done? I guess what the old saying, could they have found another gear come playoff time? And I don't know. Like, Colorado was the team that ended up in their spot. And although they put up a nice little fight or a kind of fight against Nashville, they still got the doors blown off them at the end of the day. And, you know, I don't really imagine that there would have been a different result with the St. Louis Blues in there instead of the Colorado Avalanche. And I think that that's the kicker, right, is how well would the Blues have done? And I guess what comes to mind is how close are they then? Or how far are they? So I think that, these are some of the things that the Blues are going to have to address. They're going to have to make sure that they find a team that matches up to these other teams in playoffs. And when you look at the depth and the speed and all these little ingredients that these teams have, I think that you're going to have to put together probably a to-do list, if you're Doug Armstrong, and try to match some of these things with these teams that are being successful. And certainly the goaltender position, depth on D, and top six scoring is proving right now that that's one of the main things that you're going to have to get or acquire to do well in the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, so what we're going to do here is we are going to dial up our good buddy, Jax Taylor, and see if he and I can battle it out here and talk about round two in the playoffs. All right, we got our good buddy Jax Taylor on the phone, who is currently in New York City. If you follow him all over Twitter and Instagram and all those things, you can see that he's traveling the world this week. So thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. But I do have a little bit of bad news. I'm in New York, and my girlfriend wanted to see a play last night, and that play ran the exact same time as that Boston Leafs game.
Oh, my God.
So all I did was hear about it. I haven't even watched it, but, I mean, you got to fill me in. What happened? Last time I checked, it was 4-2. I was on my phone during the play. It was 4-2. I'm like, okay, Leafs got this one in the bag. And I turned my phone off. I looked back on my phone again. It's 7-4. What the hell happened?
Well, here, I'll try to break it down for you. The Leafs, look, they came out scored first, you know, the whole beginning of the game part, and then the Bruins, when they got ahead, I thought, okay, like the Bruins actually got ahead 3-2 at one point. And I thought, okay, that's it. They're going to close it out at home. And the Leafs came storming out in the second period, like going hard, and the Bruins weren't great. And our boy Tuukka Rask at one point had 16 shots against and 4 goals that he had let in. So he wasn't playing fantastic by any means. And so the Leafs jumped out.
I thought it was going to be an upset.
Well, it looked like it, right? And so the Leafs are ahead 4-3 headed into the third period. And I talked about it earlier. Like, you got to think that a Mike Babcock coach team ahead by a goal going into the third period of game seven, like, that should be fucking on autopilot at that point.
Right, right.
But
right.
The Bees came out, and like right away you could tell that they had another gear. And the ice just sort of got tilted. Jake DeBrusk, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it yet. He had an incredible goal that he scored. And, I mean, it's his fifth goal of the series, too. His second of the game.
I saw it.
Yeah, the old Zetterberg move, you know, coming down under the stick. Pretty sick.
Yeah, I saw it. I got it all taped. I got to rewatch the game because, like I said, I had to go see Hamilton last night. It's a big play here in New York. And my girlfriend really wanted to see it. Of course, it was at the same time, so I didn't really have a choice.
You got to do what you got to do, buddy. I get it.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, no,
do.
I get it.
What a game. What a game, man. I'm a big follower of the Barstool Sports, and I was looking at Dave Partnoy. He's the president of Barstool, and he was going crazy. He was like, man, Boston's down 4-2. It's over. Doesn't look good. I was like, yes. Even though I had Boston in my bracket, I still wanted Toronto to win for some reason. I just really wanted Toronto to win. I was like, you know what? Forget the bracket. I really just want to see Toronto win.
Yeah. I don't blame you. At one point, too, I was like, you know, it'd be kind of neat for Toronto to, advance and continue in the playoffs. And, you know, I just, at the end of the day, Boston's just so deep. Like, Boston's fourth line outplayed the Maple Leafs, like, second line. Or first line, I guess, because their second line became their first. Whatever happened, like, Austin Matthews didn't have a great playoffs. Nylander didn't have a great playoff. And when you got those two guys that aren't your best players, like, you're in tough at that point.
Right. I thought Freddie played freaking amazing. I thought he'd be good. I mean, yes, of course, he would have all those goals. Yeah, but for the most of the playoffs, I thought he played pretty good.
He had some amazing saves. Now, of course, you know, today, all over the place, everybody's blaming, you know, Freddie Anderson because he could have had a couple of those goals last night, and then they're all over the Jake Gardiner kid, who I know he was minus five on the night, which is a bit of a kick in the nuts for sure.
Toronto's heavy on the press, man. I know that sounds like you screw up in the hockey world, they let you go the next day.
Oh, it's fucking brutal. And like, you know, like Gardiner and Anderson, they didn't have their best games, but like, where was the goal scoring? I mean, I guess they scored four, but you know, the guys who were supposed to be the usual suspects on the score sheet, they weren't there. They weren't there for the whole series.
But like you said, they're supposed to just lock it down. You know, you're up at 4-2, you lock it down. You know, you play a defensive game, kind of a dump chase kind of game, and I don't know how they let up to that many goals. I stared at the phone literally for 5 minutes. I was like, this can't be the real score. This is not, no way.
It happened,
like
you
said, man. You know, Babcock and Freddie was playing good. I was like, what? Oh, man, wow. Well, I mean, that's the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, your boy Dave Portney, he was fucking, I tell you what, you should get on his case. He was jumping off the bandwagon. I'm surprised he doesn't have two broken legs today, the way he was jumping off the bandwagon.
Oh, he was going to town on Boston. I saw that. He was going to town on him. And then, like I said, I had to turn my phone off. And then I turned it back on. It was like, what the hell happened? I'm glad I didn't have money on that game, that's for sure.
Yeah, somebody would have taken a beating. Tell you what, the wheels fell off in a hurry there in the third. So, oh, well. But you know what? It ends up the way it should have been. And, I mean, I guess
I had Boston winning it, but I just kind of wanted to see those young guys just take down Boston. I'm not a fan of Boston. I like to see him lose. You know, I'm like Marchand. You know, he's just such a little rat. Like,
yeah, he is.
He's a good player. That's why we hate him. We hate him because he's a good player. He's a good guy. He's a good hockey player. But I just like to see Boston go down. I just, you know, but whatever. It is what it is. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
But on to the next round, right?
Well, now they got Tampa.
What do you think on the next round?
Now they got Tampa.
Yeah, now they got Tampa.
What do you got there? Talk to me.
Well, I think Tampa's going to come out of this one, personally. What do you think?
I have Tampa going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. So, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You know, I mean.
So, yeah, I definitely think they're going to take it. It's going to probably go six games, though, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, you look at.
At least six.
Here's the thing. You look at their lineups, and they're both deep lineups. They're both, you know, matched up well against each other. I just think that I don't see another opponent in the East, certainly, that can outscore what Tampa has for scoring.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like, Every guy can score. And then on the back end with the likes of, Hedman, Girardi, McDonough, like they've just, they're so deep on the blue line now too that, you know, and then you throw Vasilevsky in the mix, who's an incredible goalie. Like that's a tough opponent.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And, you know, Cooper's awesome. He's a great coach. I just think they're stacked. They're really stacked. It's going to be tough to beat Tampa.
Yeah.
It really is. But, I mean, New Jersey tried. They did pretty good. I thought they did all right, considering. I mean, they do.
Well, they did awesome. I mean, really, all things considered, they did awesome because they weren't even, like, let's be honest, if anybody said the Devils would have made the playoffs at the start of the season, yeah, I think everybody would have laughed at them. You know?
Exactly.
So for them to make the playoffs and then even put up a bit of a fight, which they more than did. They held their own. It was impressive. Now, I think the mess that happened for them was in the net. And I'm not saying I'm not saying either goalie played bad, but I'm just not a fan of making goalie switches in the playoffs. It just, to me, it doesn't show that your team is as solid as it should be. You know, the coach doing that, like, it just shows weakness. And it's hard for those guys to play with full confidence when, you know, you got Kincaid who starts, did a great job. I mean, he's biggest reason that they probably made it there, apart from Taylor Hall, was that guy. But then he's not stellar, or he's not pulling out miracles. Then you go to Schneider, and it's like, then the players start to think, well, fuck, do we really have a chance if we can't even figure out who the hell our goalie's going to be?
Exactly. That's the time those boys got shined, you know. And Schneider got bad, like, right at the end there. It was bad timing for him. I mean, hopefully next year he can figure out his game again. But,
Say whatever you want.
When it comes to goaltending, they were just out of luck. And in the playoffs, you got to have goaltending. I mean, just they wouldn't have gone far. And I'm curious of the changes that they're all going to make now. Like, you know, what kind of changes is everyone going to make? That's what I'm really concerned. Like, interested in. Like, are people going to dismantle their team? Our team's going to dismantle their. Coaches and clubs have dismantled the teams now, or what do you think?
I don't know. It's a tough call, right? Because, like, if we look ahead even a little bit into the Washington-Pittsburgh series, right? So the Washington Capitals, for me, are the ones that, like, I think even you and I texted a little while ago, and I was like, the Capitals, like, if they don't win round one, like, that team's going to get just annihilated. They're going to blow that team up. And
I know. I think so, too. I think. Yeah, obviously they'll get rid of everybody. I think people want to leave. I think they can't get past the second round.
It's been tough.
So we'll see.
And they've had a lot of advantages to try and do it. You know, like, to me, that's another situation that was a little screwy. Is they start the series with Philip Grubauer, who, you know, he played well, but you got Braden Holtby, who, if you look at the history of the NHL playoffs, he's a number two goalie in the history of the NHL playoffs for save percentage.
Right.
And you're not putting that guy in, and then you end up down, what, 2-0, and now you got to go back to him, which he played well, and they obviously responded, but that could have been a decision that ruined their season for them.
Absolutely. I mean, Grubauer had to know going in that if he screwed up a little bit, they were going to pull him. But he just had to know.
Yeah, I would imagine he knew.
He had no room for error at all.
Yeah, and that's why when you and I talked, it was kind of in the middle of that series, and I just thought if they fuck this up, then, like, Holtby will be gone. They'll get rid of him. Whoever else they got, John Carlson is an unrestricted free agent, I believe, so that's going to be one. And Barry Trotz would probably go. I mean, that team overall would be a completely different look for next season, and it still might end up that way. But for sure, had they blown that first round, it would have been, like, immediate blow-up city, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the fans are going to let them have it for sure, too. For sure.
So now we got them against Pittsburgh, right?
Now we got and Ovechkin, you know. That's going to be a great series. These next series are going to be great. These are going to be great games.
Well, every series that we're coming up to next, like I just talked about it earlier, it's every one of them could be a legitimate conference final.
Yes, absolutely.
That's crazy.
Vegas. I mean, Vegas is. I'm still like up in the air with Vegas. I know they just blew the Kings away, and they proved everybody that they are legit. But I still, I don't know why. I just still like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else
I'm with you on that.
I don't know what else they have to do. I mean, they pretty much have done everything you could possibly do to say that, hey, we are awesome. We are legit. We are a contender. But I still haven't, like, I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm the same way. It's like,
I feel like they have to let up at some point. Right?
It's like you're afraid to buy in because you think, oh, well, you know, this can't last. And it's like I've been doing that all year with them. Like after their big start, after halfway point, after this, like I keep saying, okay, the bubble's going to burst. Like this has to come to an end.
Right.
And quite honestly, I had the Kings winning that series. And
me too.
Fuck, 4-0.
Yeah. I had the Kings and I had the Ducks.
Yeah, me too. Shows what we know. My God.
I know. I mean, but the Kings, couldn't even score a goal. I mean, they couldn't even, what, they got three goals? That whole three, something like that?
Yeah, well, how frustrated, look, awesome. You're a goalie. How frustrated would you be for if you're Jonathan Quick and your numbers are something stupid like a 1.6 goals against and like a 0.960 save percentage and you lost four straight?
I mean,
what the fuck, right?
I know, right? I don't know. They got some
like, do you go back to the room and say, hey, guys, I did my job?
I don't understand. They can't put the puck in the net. I don't get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Vegas is great. I'm not knocking them or anything, but come on. I mean, the Kings, they've won a couple of cups. They got a good thing going over there. They know each other. I was baffled by that whole series.
Buddy, I was blown away. I really was. Yeah,
I would have never in a million years have guessed that. Never.
I wouldn't. I mean, I picked the Kings to come out of that. And
yeah.
Then for.
I mean, I think they would have lost like maybe one or two games. Most to go like get swept is just wow. But again, it's playoff hockey. That's why it's awesome. That's why the sport is so, it's such an awesome sport because like the regular season to me is crap. You know, but you get in the playoffs and like these teams just come out of nowhere. It's just that's why it's such a great sport. I love it.
It's crazy. So that brings us here.
It drives me crazy. I swear at the TV, it drives me absolutely nuts, but it's a great sport.
You're not alone, buddy. By the way, speaking of swearing at the TV, did you happen to see that little blurb, that video of Cam Neely up in the press box?
No, what happened?
Oh, my God. It was the game in Toronto. Where Boston obviously lost, and they cut up to, the general manager / owner's box.
Right.
And this Cam Neely is staring at the little monitor, and he's kind of breathing heavy a little bit, and then he gives a look like he's going to murder somebody. He literally is like his eyes almost crossed with anger, and he grits his teeth, and you can tell that he's like ready to smash something. And then, of course, the video, the camera guy's like, oh, shit, we should probably get off of this guy. So they break away. But I was like, oh, my God. Speaking of swearing at a TV, like Cam Neely, your Hall of Famer, who's this massive human being who played the game as mean as anybody's ever played it. He's your president now, and now he's gritting his teeth, looking like he's going to physically eat the TV and spit out the friggin' pieces after. It was pretty funny. You got to try to find that.
I got to check that.
Yeah, you'll laugh. You'll be like, holy shit, he looks like he's going to murder somebody. So
who do you got tonight?
All right, well, here, let's see here. Since we're talking about Vegas, let's stick on the Vegas Sharks series.
Okay.
Who are you picking there?
I'm gonna go Vegas. Everything's screwed up now. That whole conference is screwed up, so I'm going to go Vegas. I'm just going to ride the bandwagon like everybody else is.
Yeah, what?
I kind of feel like I'd be stupid not to.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm going to say it, but I feel like, yeah, I'm going to go Vegas.
I'm with you.
I think they're going to take the series. I don't think they're going to sweep it, but I think they're going to take the series. But then again, I don't know.
Fuck, I know, right? I got Vegas winning the series.
No, not second round. There's not going to be a sweep in the second round.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. But
no.
Right now, with the shit that's gone on with that Vegas team, I mean, I don't know.
A lot of time off.
It's been crazy. But I'm coming to, I don't want to say the dark side. I guess I'm coming to the golden side. I'm going
the golden side.
I'm going Vegas in that series too. I just think that I've bet against them so many times now that I got to go with them now. They finally earned my trust.
Yeah, me too. Same. I'm going to go Vegas.
All right. Now, Nashville, Vegas. Winnipeg. That is going to be a war.
Yeah, that's going to be a good series. I'd much rather watch that series rather than the Sharks-Knights series, actually.
I agree.
If I had to only pick one series to watch, that would be the series to watch, I think.
Like, how crazy is that? Did you have two of the best teams in the league meeting in the second round, and they both play almost identical? They're big, they're fast, they're physical, great goaltending, active defense. Like, this series is going to be one for the ages, I think.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, they're both cup contenders, too. So, it's what's great about these playoffs this season, this year. It's like all these teams can win the cup. You got Pittsburgh, they can easily win the cup. Winnipeg, easily. Nashville, easily. Tampa, easily. Vegas, well, easily. I mean, anybody can win it. You know, back in the day, it used to be, oh, yeah, you know who's going to win. You could pretty much predict who's going to be in the
final. Yeah, you could narrow it down to, like, three teams.
Now it's like it could be anybody. It really could.
Well, think of the atmosphere right now for that series, too. Like, obviously, Nashville, they get, 50,000 people outside of the building in the streets? You know,
yeah.
And then they have the building inside that's crazy. And then Winnipeg, same thing is happening. They had, 50,000 people in the streets, and then they've got the whiteout inside.
Which I don't know how they play in that. I'm watching it on TV. I don't know how the players do it.
I went through that. Let's see here. Way back when the Jets first moved to Phoenix, we played the Blues. I was with the Blues. We played against the Coyotes that year in the playoffs. And the first time I came out onto the ice, they did this whiteout thing. And this is back when the home team wore white. And
right.
So you came out on the ice, and it like your eyes were playing tricks on you. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Everything was white, and including the other team's uniforms. It was pretty intimidating, I'm not going to lie.
I bet.
It's cool, though.
I don't know how it's going to go.
So that would be fun. Like, that's going to be a good series.
If Pittsburgh wins the Cup, I'm never watching hockey again. I'm done.
Okay, well, hang on. Before we get there, who have you got, Nashville or Winnipeg?
I'm going to go Nashville.
Yeah. Heck, we're on the same page right now.
This is a guess, to be honest. I think Winnipeg is good, but I'm going to go Nashville. I can't really. I don't know. Nashville. I'm going to take them, but I mean, it could go either way. It's going to be a battle. It really is. It's going to go 6-7 games for sure.
It's a coin flip, realistically.
Really, it is. It's. I don't even know what Vegas is saying right now. What are the odds over there? What are they saying? You know?
I don't know. I should check that out.
I'm curious.
It's got to be even, I would imagine.
It's got to what?
It's got to be even odds on this series. Like,
yeah,
probably pick a winner.
I'm a big better on the play. I've been doing pretty well in the Stanley Cup in these playoffs. I've been doing pretty well betting, but this round, I don't know how to. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's so hard.
I don't know what I'm going to do because. It's really hard. You got to win by two. The way Vegas does it, you got to win by two.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, and that's why it's difficult, just like you said, because, like, come on, you win by two, that's, like, asking a lot.
I know. Yeah, especially that series. So I'll probably stay away from that series when it comes to betting.
I wouldn't bet that series. That'll put you in the poorhouse.
Yeah, for sure. I'll take Nashville.
Yeah, I got Nashville,
I got to win the series. I'll take them. They're at home tonight, right?
Does it start tonight? I think it does start tonight. I lose track of my days. So this is Thursday, isn't it?
Oh, is it tonight?
I don't know. I'm rely upon you. You're supposed to know.
I think so. I know. You think I was supposed to, but I said I'm in New York. I got the girlfriend with me. She's like, no more hockey. And I'm checking my phone.
Come on, Britt. We have hockey.
I'm spending $800 to see a play that I don't really want to see. And I'm like looking at my phone.
Okay, I got it. We've got two games tonight, buddy. We've got Penguins Capitals start tonight on NBC SN at 6:00 Central, so 7 in New York. And then the Sharks play Vegas, start time of 10 New York time, 9:00 Central time. So it's a doubleheader, buddy.
That's right. Who you got? You got Penguins or Caps?
I've got Pittsburgh.
Me too.
I just think they've got too much firepower, and you know what? Like, they have so much experience to draw upon. Like, when Jake Guentzel is scoring 4 goals in a game, and you still have Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, and all these other weapons that you're not even really having to utilize, like, that makes that team pretty dangerous.
Absolutely. I agree. You know? I agree. Like I said, I hate him, though. I hate him.
What do you hate about him?
What
do you hate about him?
I just don't like Pittsburgh. It's just one of those things. You know how sometimes you just don't like something for no reason?
There's I just
reason.
Didn't know if there's like a specific reason.
Don't like him. No, it's kind of like watching it's kind of like a New York or watching the Devils game. It's boring hockey to me. I don't know. I don't have a reason. They're awesome. They're great. They have a stock team. There's no reason not to like them. I just don't like them.
That's okay. You don't have to have a reason.
Yeah. It's just I'm tired of them going to the cops. Get something else in there.
This is good. Express your feelings, yeah. Jax. This is going to make you feel better. Get it out, buddy.
I just don't like them. I'm over Pittsburgh. I'm over it.
Well, I would like to see Washington win just because – let's be honest. They've been shit kicked so much in the playoffs, and they've always come up short. That it'd be for fun alone, just for the sake of watching it. It'd be fun to watch Washington win. However, I don't think they will. I've got Pittsburgh winning that series as well.
Yeah, me too.
So
me too. For the sake of money and everything else, yes. But do I want them? No.
Yeah, 100%. So I guess as it lines up, you and I have completely agreed. On this round, we both have Tampa, Pitt, Nashville, mm-hmm. and Vegas.
Yes.
Now, my bracket, as I've sent that to you, my bracket has taken a beating. I mean, I picked Anaheim and LA, and then I picked LA to advance to the conference final against Nashville. So my only hope at this point is that Pittsburgh and Tampa advance, and Tampa advances to the Cup final, because I'm shit kicked otherwise.
You don't want to see you don't want to see Tampa Nashville, huh? I mean, I know that's not your bracket, but you don't want to see that.
Well, yeah, I know. I want to see Tampa Nashville for sure. I've got those two in the final. That's what I mean.
Oh, that's your final. That's your final.
Like my bracket in the West is completely blown up now. Unless Nashville goes to the final and wins it, that'll be good. And on the other side in the East, I've got Pittsburgh going to the conference final against Tampa, and Tampa ending up in the Stanley Cup final against Nashville. And then I got Nashville in 6 games.
That's a great series. But, I mean, they're all good series, but that's a good series. Tampa Nashville, that's a great series.
Yeah. So, all right, buddy. Well, look.
All right, it's going to be some good hockey, man. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too.
I'll be watching you a lot during the games tonight, because I'll be watching the games. I'm going to go to a dive bar here in the city tonight and watch the games.
You know where you should go? Yeah. Have you ever been to McSorley's Ale House?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's in New York City. I forget exactly where, but when I played in New York, an old rock and roll guy had told me, you got to go check out McSorley's Ale House. And so I did. This thing is iconic. Like, it's really? Supposed to be the very first bar ever in New York City. And when you walk in, you have the choice of light beer or dark beer. And when you order, you automatically get 2 beers at the same time. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like the original flooring, the original stuff. They got pictures of all the famous people inside that have been in there and taking pictures.
Oh, I'm there.
So
I'm there.
If you have a chance while you're there, it's called
tonight,
McSorley's Ale House.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, if you're in town tonight and you want to watch some hockey, we're going to be at McSorley's tonight. Me and I, for sure.
There we go. All right, bud. Well, enjoy the big city, and we'll try to keep track of you all over Twitter and Instagram. And you and I will reconvene at the end of the next round and go from there.
Sounds great.
All right, bud. Take care. Thanks a lot for taking time. Enjoy your trip to the East Coast.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
Okay, folks, that was our good buddy Jax Taylor, who has been so kind to join us on his vacation. Love talking hockey with that guy. It's a lot of fun. You know, if you guys, if you watch the Bravo Network at all, you got to catch Vanderpump Rules. Jax and his girlfriend Brittany from the show and in real life are in New York right now enjoying some time off from shooting, I'd imagine. But it's a lot of fun. They're a great group of people. Never boring, that's for sure. But Jax, for those who don't know, He's a big hockey fan, born and raised in the Detroit area, Michigan area. Was a goalie throughout minor hockey, played AAA, and then chose the route of going into acting and modeling at one point rather than continue with hockey. And obviously it's worked out for him. He's doing a bang-up job in Hollywood right now, and certainly a big hockey guy. So it's always fun to do that, and we're going to revisit, like we talked about, each round afterwards. We're going to talk about what had happened and what we're looking forward to and try to have a little fun with it. So if you guys have any questions leading up to next round of playoffs, don't be shy to tweet them out at Jax and I on Twitter, as well as the STL Blues podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, and this show will be hopefully released later on today, hopefully before the games happen tonight. But if not, make sure you tune in anyways, and we'll go from there. Pleasure being on here this morning. Lots of fun doing the Han Solo thing. Once again, thank you to Jax Taylor for coming on and participating, as well as InnovatedCompanies.com, our Innovated Construction, Heating and Cooling, and Electric. These guys are our main sponsor. Without them, we couldn't come to you guys as much as we do. Randy and Stephanie Green, give these guys a look online. 35 years of experience, second-generation craftsmen, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. And the one thing I like the most about it is that they're like everyday people. You know, they want to help you out. They're not just this big corporate thing that's going to come in, bid, and if you like it, great. If you don't, too bad. Who gives a shit type thing. They're great people. So make sure you give them a little look-see. Tommy Brown, downtown Tommy Brown, on the bench with Butter, all that creepy little stuff that we hear. Tax Resolutions by TommyBrown.com. He unbelievable guy. He's going to be helping me out as well here with all the different things I got going on. So give him a shout or give him a look-see. SynergyHockeySkills.com. That's your local hockey skills company. If you're looking for summer camps or lessons, get on to SynergyHockeySkills.com. Click around, have a look-see, and hopefully you find something you like. And last but certainly not least, NelsonLandServices.com. Nelson family is, we talk about hockey families, especially lately with some of the great things and some of the awful things that have happened in our world. Well, this is a great hockey family, and we try to support them as much as we can. Their business is fantastic. They've done so much in the Lake of the Ozarks area that they're coming now. They're creeping into the St. Louis area. Please give them a look. NelsonLandServices.com. This is the time of year to do it. Get out, give them a call, check out their website. And if you got anything you want to change or anything you want to upgrade, this is the guy to do it. Once again, they're down-to-earth people. They're, you know, everyday people that are going to work hard for your trust and certainly not let you down. So on that note, thank you, everybody, for this abbreviated version of Blues NHL Podcast. This is Jamie Rivers here. So long.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.